So, welcome back to another installment of Anime Was Not a Mistake. If all has gone according to plan, this is actually the second episode that we will be giving you this week.
Yeah.
We're providing you that bonus quarantine content that we all, you know, we know you all love and enjoy, so, or we hope you do. So, again, if the plan worked perfectly, we would have watched Cats.
Wait, hold up, if the plan worked what, Dan?
Perfectly.
Perfectly, yes.
Wasn't even...
Perfect.
But last night we put on our big Cats extravaganza.
Our own Jellicle Ball.
At the expense of several years of Jonathan's life, that was in the works for some time, and we hope that, of course, you all... will join us for that adventure.
How I've aged.
And this episode will go up, I think, later in the week.
Yeah.
I'll call an audible and say that it should, because, this will be the casual episode to bring everyone down from, the Cats
episode.
Back to the
norm. Yeah.
So we are on episode 59 of our humble little podcast. Mm. And we today, as I said, many moons ago, or under quarantine time, what feels like
many moons ago, but was a fact just a week ago.
We will be watching One Piece film Strong World.
Oh.
But before we do you have any final thoughts about Cats? Any life news? Any anime news that you didn't cover yesterday?
There will be never a time in my life where I have final thoughts about Cats. I think up to my deathbed, I'll be pulling my hair out, going, no. Lloyd Webber had a plan, I'm telling you.
It'll revisit you like an old lover occasionally.
Yeah.
Just
No, they're going to ask me, Jonathan, did life have a point? Did it mean anything? And I'll say, it was just about Cats.
When the nun is like talking to you in your Salieri.
No, the Amadeus. Yeah. Salieri. Salieri. No. Cats. No additional thoughts, no anime thoughts. I haven't watched anything recently in the past 24 hours.
Of course, yeah. I think the only news of note was that, and I assume it's not going to be the last one to do this, but the Pokemon anime will be, because we drop references to it occasionally. I haven't watched an episode in a while, but I like checking what's going on.
Yeah.
But I think, understandably, that's going to be delayed for a bit, because they obviously want their staff to be safe and everything, so I would assume that that's going to start affecting a lot of shows as they hit their backlog of episodes that were already made. If you want to assume like 6 or 7, 8 months for production, then they just want to make sure that there's a buffer there. So, but it's small potatoes in the grand scheme of things.
I haven't played the Final Fantasy VII remake yet. That's the only thing I have to say.
Well,
I should have, but I'm hooked on Persona.
It's been enjoyable so far. It's I did like the first iconic mission with the train and such. And now I'm the last thing I did. You just goobering around doing quests for the people in the slums, but I think I get on to the next story part soon. But you are still enjoying Persona, I would assume.
Yes, until the summer, until quarantine rips it out of my hands.
Of course.
Yeah, but that's all my anime news.
Okay.
Yep.
So again, this is going to be much more of a casual episode, a casual viewing experience. I might be retreading old water, perhaps,
resailing old seas.
Yes, by bringing One Piece again. But again, I have voiced my intention that I want to at least cover these One Piece film projects, over time, so I can sprinkle them throughout the entirety of our series,
and then we can compare and contrast to the Pirates of the Caribbean, more
by far. That's I think
stable
they go hand
crew
in hand, But I will be shaking things up if the tides and shipping work in my favor. I will
East
have
India Trading Company.
I'm gonna try to throw Jonathan some curveballs in the coming weeks or months.
Oh no.
but today I figured it would be good to do a chill episode. And again, a movie that I really love anyway and watch regularly, basically. So why not incorporate it into the podcast?
Indeed.
So we are, of course, talking about One Piece film Strong World. We're gonna roll out the drawing board.
It's a little scratched up from last night.
We got some anime bandages over it. Yeah. So, you know, the Animal Crossing, you know.
Yeah, here's a boo-boo.
Yeah.
I do love an Animal Crossing when if you happen to be near a wasp and near a villager and you talk to them, they're like, can you just not right now? And then they run away.
No, it is cute. It's always cute.
They're just like, I can't deal with this right now.
Or when, like, a tarantula is, like, moving through, like, a crowd, and they're like...
My God.
Where were we? Oh, but yes, Drawing Board Coon is out, and he's, you know, got some bandages on, but he's got his straw hat on, so he's ready to cover this information.
Yes.
One Piece film, Strong World, was released on December 12th, 2009, in Japan. It is the 10th One Piece movie overall, and it was made in celebration of the franchise's 10th anniversary.
I didn't think it was that old.
Yeah. I feel like we've had, like, a few event movies since then, but this was...
pinnacle.
This was the first big one. We previously watched Baron Omatsuri, which I think was 5 or 6 or 4 in that list. Mm-hmm. But usually they were very small scale movies that had kind of a self-contained plot. Obviously still the same wacky, colorful characters, but you know they didn't really care about fitting into the story or adding things to the canon, because it was usually for those movies, Ichiro Oda, the mangaka responsible for One Piece, would just provide some character designs, check off a few story notes, and then that's how those movies were made. So in order to give this movie an extra punch for the 10th anniversary, they asked Ichiro Oda to, you know, personally write this movie. To convey the significance of Oda's involvement, the movie's name is written as One Piece Film. Mm-hmm. Two more movies have since been released under this banner, being One Piece Film Z and One Piece Film Gold, which yeah, I will hope to...
That's what I thought of. Yeah. I thought this was that. But
yeah.
Apparently it's not.
Well, they are also faves, and they will be on this podcast eventually. I figure, you know, while we're doing them, we might as well.
Yeah.
If it has One Piece Film in the title, then that means Oda wrote the story, and usually it can be... sort of nicely fit into the series canon, unlike another serialized movie that, you know...
It's like a mini arc where they're, like, on an island adventure,
yeah,
I assume.
Yeah, exactly. Strong World does this the best, pretty much, because it's designed to fit perfectly into the greater One Piece canon.
Uh-huh. Between two of my favorites.
Yeah, it takes place between Thriller Bark and the Archipelago arcs. Oof. The film's main antagonist, Shiki, has also been referenced numerous times in the manga.
Did he get in the robot?
What?
Is that Shinji or Shiki?
Oh, no, that's Shinji. Oh, someday. Come on. Wait.
My ears perked up.
He's been referenced in the manga. He's been made canon in the manga itself, and the other characters and... sort of past historical events that were brought up by this movie have since been canonized. So as far as we can tell, this movie is canon. I believe the only, if we're nitpicking, the only issue was that Brooke makes a big deal in Sayobidi that he is, this is his first battle alongside the Straw Hats, and presumably this movie would overwrite that, but...
He just forgot that.
You know, just MST3K mantra, it's just a show, relax.
He's a skeleton.
The other two films, Z and One Piece Film Gold, are kind of, they can kind of fit comfortably into their own spots, especially in the anime. Especially Gold is much more difficult to place because the cast hasn't been together in a while. But still, you could probably figure out a way to fit it in other places. In addition to designing the film's new characters, Oda also designed every outfit worn by the Straw Hat Pirates.
The most important part of any any One Piece venture.
And it did turn out to be a pretty big deal with this movie. I believe they go through, like, casual adventuring and formal wear, and he designed all three of those phases for each of them. The movie itself was directed by Munehisa Sakai, who also worked frequently as a director for the One Piece anime. So again, it was it was his project, but, you know, the main selling point was that Ichiro Oda was personally involved in this. Mm-hmm. Strong World received a great deal of promotion leading up to its release. The first 1.5 million Japanese moviegoers who went to see the movie would receive a copy of One Piece Volume Zero. This manga provided, like, a great deal of backstory for Shiki, as well as filling in a few more background details about Gold D. Roger and the Marines, all of which have been, you know, haven't been contradicted to this point or even confirmed by the manga. Appeared in larger story arcs, it's, you know, it has influenced things, as we'll get to later, it's kind of been speculated that sweetening the deal with this free manga helped to drive up the early ticket sales, because people wanted to be the first to get this, because it would presumably be a collector's item. Mm. And as such, whenever these films are made, this process is repeated, Film Z received Volume Z, and Gold received Volume 777. Of course.
Assuming that One Piece doesn't run to 778 volumes.
If they do, we're going to be in trouble. Volume Zero was adapted into the into Episode Zero for the anime and covered the same events. The anime also featured the Little East Blue mini arc that teases a few elements of the film story. That story arc focused on a kind of a group of... islanders who had moved from East Blue and set up their own little, you know, like Chinatown or something to that effect on this other island, and for an unknown reason, this giant animal attacks it, and the Straw Hats get the sense that something fishy is going on, and obviously that builds into the greater plot of this movie. Shueisha's fashion magazine, and if we've talked about Shueisha before, they are the greater publishing company that puts out Weekly Shonen Jump, as well as other magazines. Their fashion publication, Men's Non No, featured
Non No.
I don't need. I say Paris.
It just means Men's No No.
Featured Luffy on the cover, wearing an outfit designed by the stylist Shinichi Miter Mita, as well as several pages of models dressed like One Piece characters. Notably, this was the first time in the magazine's, like, 20-plus year history that a manga character had been featured on the cover.
If only. What's next? Hatsune Miku on the Vogue cover?
Has it happened?
I would assume it probably has at this point, hasn't it?
Does she give interviews?
Only through the digital medium.
The Japanese rock band Mr. Children performed the film's main theme, which is Fanfare, after being personally offered the job by Oda himself.
Oh, great honor.
And I think this should be in the version that we're watching. I know there's some issues in different cuts of this movie about getting rights to that song, but I think it should be in this version that we have. But if not, you know, it was supposed to be there. Character design corner, as I like to do, is Shiki the Golden Lion, a.k.a. the Flying Pirate, and he is the main antagonist of this movie. He is the Admiral of the Golden Lion Pirates. He is portrayed as a very large man with a mane of golden hair.
Large man.
He dresses in traditional Japanese clothing, and notably, he has a ship's wheel stuck in his head.
Well, what's that doing there?
That is an embarrassing reminder of his loss against Gold D. Roger at the Battle of Ed War.
Did Gold D. Roger smack him in the head with the ship wheel and it got stuck there?
They did animate that part, and it's just like in the exchanging cannon fire, Shiki's ships was destroyed, and the wheel flew off, and then hit him in the head, and his doctor can't remove it because it's attached to something important, but it also decreases his pain tolerance, apparently.
It's a good thing,
I guess. As much as One Piece characters tend to have a freakish survival ability to begin with.
So our audience member should try that at home. Just smack your head into random objects.
If you don't have a ship one, then just use a car one.
Or a microwave. It doesn't matter.
He has, like, this very weird frenemy background with, mm-hmm. with Goldie Roger. He was, you know, if anyone's not familiar with the series, the audience would later learn that Goldie Roger pretty much turned himself in because he received a terminal diagnosis. And after,
of
like...
what?
like a soap opera disease. Oh my gosh. It hasn't been established yet.
Like, they didn't say, like, it's cancer.
No, I'm pretty sure they didn't say okay. that, but he was like, you know, he knew several months ahead of time that he was going to die. And he had already found the One Piece at that point, and, like, you know, obviously made the return trip. He disbanded his crew, and then he turned himself into the Marines so that he could stage this, you know, if you want my treasure, you can have it. I left it all at that place, and that would... Because he wanted to dick over the government one last time by spurring on this new generation of pirates to keep adventuring. Mm-hmm. That was his, you know, plan. He said to, I think, Garp, he's like, you know, I'm not going to die, kid. I'm going to live forever like this. And he, you know, but Shiki, not knowing that, had assumed that he had been, like, legitimately captured. And in a very ill-thought-out move, he staged a one-man raid of Marineford, which was the main Marine base, and slaughtered many civilians and soldiers in this rampage. But he was eventually, you know, defeated and imprisoned, only to be told that Goldie Roger wasn't at Marineford. He was going to be executed at in Loguetown, which was in the East Blue. Shiki was extremely pissed off about this because he sees the East Blue as the weakest of the seas in the One Piece world. It's you know, it's a quiet place where, you know, he doesn't think great men can come from there. You know, the Marine, I believe whichever Marine was speaking with him was like, well, yeah, we chose it because it represents peace. This is us eliminating the Pirate King. This is us ushering in an era of, you know, without pirates. And obviously that did not work. You know, as per the opening of At World's End, it does not work. You can't keep pirates down.
Nope.
Yo-ho,
stole the queen from her burn.
Yeah, someday. But,
stupid little boy. Hang him.
Shiki would later manage to escape from Impel Down, becoming the first known individual to have done so.
Until everyone else did it.
Yeah, yeah. Until that the entire story arc of people escaping.
Until everyone did it.
He amputated his own legs in order to remove his sea stone shackles and thus access his powers. He would later replace them with swords for a twist on the usual pirate peg leg look, and he incorporates them into his fighting style.
Just skittling around like a pair of scissors over there.
yeah. Shiki adamantly follows the concept of survival of the fittest, and that's a very big theme in this movie. Mm-hmm. He targets the East Blue especially because, again, he considers it the weakest sea. He considers it an insult that Goldie Roger was executed there. You know, and I figured in terms of villainous motivations, it is pretty interesting, and it's a relative topic, I think, in this day and age, considering how many loud people are on the internet. Like, you know, we gotta do what we gotta do. Let sick people get sick, and then, you know, and it
let's open up the beaches.
Yeah. We know where that mindset leads, and Shiki is obviously like a sociopath at this point. But perhaps learning from his, you know, rushing into Marineford, in terms of this movie's plot, he has waited 20 years.
I've waited 20 years. I've done my waiting.
In Azkaban.
That's an average long lifespan for a common garden rat, wouldn't you say?
Someday.
Scappers.
Someday again.
Yeah.
We'll tease.
What could it be?
She's a looker, isn't she, Harry?
So
check out the mazongas on her, Professor.
Where was I? Okay, so yeah, so no, he shows patience and strategic planning enough to wait 20 years to make sure that this you know, villainous scheme is perfected. Being a boomer, he also expresses distaste over the new generation of pirates and that they're seemingly not on the same level as him or Roger or his other compatriots. The manga, when they, you know, kind of recanonized Shiki, would later reveal that he was a member of the Rocks Pirates, which was captained by...
Pirates of Rocks?
Well, no, Rocks...
of Stone?
Rocks Dezebic. Ah. It was like, it was spelled like rock music, but then they... But the guy's name is spelled with an X, I think. So yeah, it was captained by Rocks Dezebic, and Zebic and his crew essentially tried to take over the world, as much as like a One Piece villain has tried to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And after Zebic's death and his defeat at God Valley, by Gold D. Roger and Vice Admiral Garp, his name and his deeds were pretty much stricken from history.
Mm-hmm.
Regular people in the One Piece world do not learn about him. Not even most Marines learn about him. He's just something that the older folks can discuss within the Marine chain of command. But he's only talked about if people have to talk about him. Mm-hmm. Because presumably he did some serious shit. So it was revealed that several other characters, such as Whitebeard, Big Mom, and Kaido, were all members of the Rocks Pirates.
Oh, so this is a bunch of big ones.
Yeah, no, and Shiki was among their ranks, presumably, you know, both in this movie and in the manga, strong enough to be among them. And even though those characters and Shiki himself make no note of this, it's implied that that's just because they all hated each other. Like, mm-hmm. They were a bunch of, like, power-hungry individuals who were under the command of someone who was on a higher level of crazy, and mm-hmm. that was enough to keep them in line and keep them together until, you know... And then when they splintered off, you have three of the emperors and the villain of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, it might add to where Shiki is getting his delusions of taking over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Shiki has the float fruit, otherwise known as the Fua Fua no Mi, which is the onomatopoeia sound for something lightly drifting or floating through the air. This allows Shiki to levitate himself and also levitate objects that he touches, pretty much giving him, like, almost giving him straightforward telekinesis. And it allows him to fly, of course. Shiki can manipulate objects regardless of their original weight, as evident by him lifting entire battleships, mountains, parts of the landscape, etc., and, you know, well, the entire islands that he calls his base, and they remain floating for as long as he is in close proximity to them and he is conscious. That is a recurring thing with how some of, like, One Piece's Devil Fruit powers work. If you know, as long as the person has their wits about them, like, even if they're just sleeping,
mm-hmm.
Their powers are fine, but once they are, you know, knocked out and defeated... Mm-hmm. against their will, then their powers will fade away.
Yeah.
So that's what you got to do to take them down.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, you know, another reason why I would throw this movie in there is because Shiki is one of my all-time favorite character designs.
Mm.
I absolutely love his character.
Shiki. Are you jumping on the couch, clutching my hands? I love Shiki.
Yeah. I'm not allowed back on Oprah, but, you know, it was... He is, you know, just in terms of a character design standpoint, I think he just visually just jumps out at you. Mm. There's so much going on with his design, but it all works. It's like symmetrical, but it's like bombastic, and it's still pirate-like, but still warlord-like, and it combines all of these elements into, I think, just perfection. So another reason why I want to showcase this movie just because I love seeing this character in action, because this is, I think, a very good standard of character design. Mm-hmm. So that all being said, as one point of contention, his English dub voice does give him a weird faux Caribbean accent that nobody can quite account for. He doesn't have that in the original Japanese, unless the original Japanese version had like a dialectic thing going on. But yeah, that is something to, but that's not of any significance. That was just a choice that the voice actor made, I guess. But yeah, So do you have any expectations going in?
I expect to see a strong world. Maybe a fight or two along the way. Maybe a pirate. I do like the One Piece movies because they feel like, as I mentioned previously, short and darks.
Yeah.
So they're more digestible for me. Yeah. So I'm excited to see this and that you're so passionate about it, of course.
Yeah, no. And I mean, to your point, that is something that like several critics actually note, is that this feels like, you know, if Oda had the time, mm-hmm. this would be like a manga arc.
Yeah.
And it's written as such. So yes. I think that feeling will come through. So
so I'm good. I'm ready to set sail. Oh, cabin boy.
Rig up the mooring line.
We've got cabin fever.
It's you or the bosom. Let's go. Back. We just viewed One Piece film, Strong World. Any initial thoughts?
Many a beast.
Lots of beasts.
And as I will pose many a time, I don't think that's how floating works, Dan.
No, it's loose floating. It's tenuous, but...
I don't know.
It looks cool on film, I think, so... Yeah.
But if you heard the end of the message, I thought that would be more heartfelt than it was. It was like, then come save me. That's it.
Yeah, but Nami's Nami, so I think it makes sense.
At least she got to do things in this movie.
unlike
a certain person that I care a lot about never gets to do anything.
Robin gets shafted regularly, even in the regular series, so hopefully that'll change at some point. But
she never gets to do anything.
Yeah, no. I mean, they could have used an archaeologist at several points. But
they could have used many hands.
The film opens with Shiki, the golden lion, using his devil fruit powers to levitate a fleet of
admiral,
marine ships.
Yeah.
He's floating them above Marine Ford, and he after appearing in his own ship, which is a giant floating island, pretty much, he brings all of the ships crashing down, just wreaking destruction upon Marine Ford.
And he waited 20 years for his master plan.
Yeah, he did. You know, again, he was, give it time. It's a slow burn.
I don't know if it was a very good plan, but sure, why not?
by One Piece standards, it was, something was cooking. He was cooking something.
Oh my God. It took 20 years to decide that I'm going to attack these stupid islands in the East Blue.
I think in a backstory sense, it was because the chemical took that long to perfect. I think it was like they got the goober beasts to that level in the amount of time that it passed, I think. The ships come crashing down, and Fleet Admiral Sengoku,
you son of a bitch.
Yeah, he's like, you know, we can't believe this. So, you know, he's, why couldn't he just stay a legend? Blah 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 blah.
But I guess we're gonna find out during this movie why he's so important.
And like, to its, you know, because oftentimes, you know, I mean, for the sake of marketing oomph, these movies are released long before the anime has caught up to those respective points. So at this point, when Funimation, you know, it's Funimation that has had the license since the days of they got them after the Four Kids debacle. many of these characters who appear in this movie, especially the Marines and even Brooke himself, this is the first time that any of them would have had an English voice.
Yeah.
If there was no scene in which they appear beforehand, many of them are being voiced for the first time in English in this movie. Whether or not they stay consistent with that is another story. But Film Z came out when I think they had just... if even just gotten the Thriller bark, mm-hmm. even so a lot of the admirals received English voices for the first time, and it happens a lot. Mm. And obviously, if you go into these movies, you're going to have some characters spoiled for you, but that, you know, so be it.
Yeah.
I think this is a pretty effective opening. I like the, you know, the coloring and how it sets the stage yeah. for, you know, it's a fairly, again, goofy One Piece standards aside, it mm-hmm. It's an ominous opening. Yeah. I think it's, you know, it's effective at yeah. that. And then we begin in media res.
On the island from Skyward Sword.
We do, yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. Again, an underrated future podcast coverage.
I bet you're wondering how I got here, says Luffy. Well, it's a long story.
Luffy is, you know, running around this island, mm-hmm. and many of these, like, giant monsters keep appearing, and not only trying to fight him, but they fight each other. They are, you know, very aggressive, and they are determined, they seemingly determined to prove who is the strongest, mm-hmm. Beyond normal animal means. So Luffy, engages with there's a forest octopus, a mantis, a giant bear,
and a flat crocodile.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. The flat of course. Crocodile. He comes out of that victorious, but, you know, even him, you know, Luffy is like, you know, the animals on this island.
This is the meanest island I ever did see.
Essentially. Yeah.
And then I'm like, do you get the message that we're trying to say here?
So they seem to have been separated. The Straw Hats have been separated into three groups amongst these floating islands. Sanji is with Usopp, Zoro is with Chopper, and Nico Robin is with Franky and
all
Brooke.
All the newbies are together.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yes, essentially.
And I get that Brooke is allowed to do certain things in this movie since, as you said, I wouldn't have known. This is, like, the first time he's officially voiced, so people were probably, like, into Brooke at this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 And, you know, I think, compared to his Japanese, I think the English guy does, like,
okay.
I think he conveys the, you know, yeah. the gist of
yeah, a Brooke, the pervy skeleton. it's an army of ants.
yeah. You know, we get, like, a few scenes of the Straw Hats, like, facing off against these monsters. Mm-hmm. When we finally find Nami, she is in this
swimming
enclosed greenhouse swimming pool terrarium type mm-hmm. Space
while it's snowing outside.
Yeah, so she's yeah. you know we're curious about what her situation is. You know, she comes out of the pool and Shiki and his two right hand men are there, and they do a little very well animated dance.
For no fucking reason.
Yeah, no, they don't. And
no.
And again, it's just, it's One Piece. Like, they're going to give the villains, like, goofy, you know, we can maybe assume that in their 20 years of isolation, they've gone, like, you know, they're, like, starting to, they've become goobers, but they do a very fluidly animated James Baxter dance for Nami, who is not impressed.
And it's time to play, which character did Jonathan hate the most this movie?
Yes, would that be Dr. Indigo?
Old fart shoes. Could not take it.
Dr. Indigo, who is the lead scientist of the Gold Lion Pirates, has fart shoes. What movie was that? Was that Muppets 2?
No, it was,
Was it Muppets 1? Or is it... It was one of the Muppets, because...
It might have been.
Fart shoes!
That's probably a Muppets movie. I was thinking of, there's a villain in a movie... Is it the Master of Disguise that has fart shoes? No,
maybe
he just farts, and then I think he
you would have seen that movie more recently.
I think so.
Yeah. You know, so Dr. Indigo is the lead scientist, kind of a clown-looking dude with the fart shoes, and there's also a gorilla.
that's named Scarlet.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't get that, but I using the intensive notes, we're able to deduce that.
Shiki kind of implies that, you know, he wants Nami to officially join his crew, but Nami refuses him, and then she kind of reflects on how we got here.
Yeah.
previously, the Straw Hats had been sailing along, and they had received a newspaper explaining that, which is a thing, that yeah. they've established that the Pelicans, like, bring newspapers to anyone who wants a newspaper.
Yeah.
That's how exposition travels.
How news is spread.
They're reading a newspaper headline saying that areas in the East Blue have been attacked recently by giant creatures, and no one has an explanation for it, but, you know, people have gotten hurt, people have gone missing, and, you know, the entire East Blue could be in danger.
Remember how much we like those characters from the East Blue?
Well, again...
everyone in the movie does.
Yeah, I mean, they might be leaning into giving them too much credit, but again, for the characters, it makes sense, because Luffy, Nami, Zoro, Usopp, and technically Sanji... were raised all in the East Blue.
We've got to save New Jersey, Dan.
Kenilworth's going to be destroyed. It'll send an appropriate message. All the malls will be gone.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. But where were we? Oh, and then...
A giant island boat passes overhead.
This what we recognize as Shiki's island ship... sails overhead, and, you know, before they have a chance to kind of, take that in, Nami senses, you know, as she usually does, that there is a very bad storm approaching, seemingly out of nowhere, and Luffy manages to signal the ship above them, and, Shiki sends down a tone dial, which is, it was a device that was introduced in, the Skypiea arc, because, up there, they didn't have... Denmushi, or a lot of devil fruits or anything, so they would use these shells pretty much that could record sound, they could focus impact and send it back and things like that. Their whole technology system was based around the dials. They send it down, Nami sends recording back up to them, and Shiki, at the last minute manages to heed her warning, and both of the ships turn out of this storm before they can get caught in it.
Yeah.
Shiki is understandably pissed with his own navigators for not
kills
noticing.
Him.
Yeah. That
kills
this,
the main navigator.
Yeah. Shoots him.
shoots him dead.
And then he pops down to say hi to the Straw Hats, and he's like, you know, which one of you sent that message? And it was, you know, it was Nami. And he gives the crew a demonstration about how his float powers work. Any object he touches, regardless of its mass, he can... there's some mass to that, guess. he can lift up and...
I have nipples, Dan. Could he float me?
But no, he can't float people. He can't float people.
Only
work
himself.
On people.
He can only touch himself.
He says that he wants Nami to join his crew because he needs an effective navigator to actually...
Has Nami always been like this sixth sense with storms? Like, there's a storm a-coming, because...
Her main thing when she was...
I know she has weather things.
Before the time skip, her main thing was being a cartographer who wanted to chart the entire world. But then it became apparent, through the stuff that Usopp made for her, that she was really good at detecting, air pressure and stuff like that. And it builds with Nami until the time skip where she trains with these weather wizards.
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
to full-on be able to manipulate weather and summon it.
The weathered wizards.
The weathered wizards.
There's nothing we do but the weather. Oh, dear.
We've come so far. The Dick Wizard.
Pub.
Obviously Nami is not going to join him willingly, so Shiki kidnaps her.
This could have all been avoided if they just, you know, were... These Straw Hats are always assholes. They don't know what to do.
Oh, yeah, no. I forgot. The Straw Hats, drop to him that they're going to head back to the East Blue to solve this problem and then resume their adventure when it's resolved. So he's like, oh, I'll help you with that. And then he floats their ship alongside his ship while he's still shooting the shit with them. He kidnaps Nami, and when the crew tries to stop him... releases the Sunny from his float powers, and they fall to his giant floating archipelago base, which is, the center of his operations. We come back to the present, where everyone is scattered over these islands. Mm-hmm. Zoro and Chopper, who have been wandering through this tundra, rescue a young girl named Zhao. And they are led to her village, and they are told about how, you know, because Chopper...
Only the moderate women are allowed in this village. Not the young, not the old, but the middle.
That was such a quality...
episode of Futurama. I know it.
The flesh is willing, but no, the body is willing, but the flesh is spongy and out of shape. Whatever the
Say we like basketball, but we focus on fundamentals.
So then throughout their, you know, being chased by creatures, Usopp and Sanji also wound up at this village. Mm-hmm. Most of, like, the people there are very gaunt, and they are seemingly developing, like, feathery appendages on their
Why
arms.
Are they there? I don't know. They just are.
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as we can tell, Shiki, like, these weren't his islands. Like, he just picked random islands to start levitating that he would use for his experiments. And, you know, if people happen to live there, then too bad. And he's seemingly been exterminating them. He definitely keeps them under, like, a state of super, like, surveillance and tyranny.
He's got surveillance, Denmushi.
but you know, a lot of the, you know, the communities are starving because the younger people and anyone who can work has been taken away to work at Shiki's main, like, mining complex or like his main factory. Mm. So then Zoro and Chopper are also told about these daft green
dank
plants.
Weed.
The dank kush.
The dank weed.
Which are these, you know, poisonous spore-producing plants that are grown around the communities and, you know, the bases and such to make sure that the giant animals don't approach them because the smell is repulsive to those animals and it keeps them away. Mm-hmm. However, if you are exposed to it for too long, you know, again, it is poisonous.
You get grayscale and you die.
Yeah, well, no, it is, it is pretty much. This was grayscale, you know,
green
before...
Grayscale.
Yeah, before we... Well, no, I guess that book would have been out first, but that was ages.
I think it's just a trope.
That was, yeah. So, for instance, Xiao's grandmother is falling ill to this daft
just
illness.
Just let me die.
voiced by Genkai, as you pointed out.
Just let me die.
So, the only cure for this poisoning, once you have it, is the IQ plants, which have been growing on this island. But Shiki had previously established that he had, like, ransacked the island of all of the IQ plants because they are vital for his experiments, which consist of distilling this down to a chemical and then injecting the native animals to it so that they grow much larger, they super adapt their surroundings, and they, you know, they become much more aggressive.
Yeah.
So that is the whole gist of what's been going on.
And we get our breakout star, Billy.
Yeah.
Billy!
Yeah, no, Billy is a peacock-like duck with electricity powers.
A duck cock. Well, wouldn't it be?
What's the peacock in Animal Crossing?
Is it? It's Pave! Festival, man!
He has electricity powers, and the main Gold Lion goobers kind of reject him because he, you know, electroshocks them, but he hangs out with Nami.
Yeah.
And he eventually helps her escape from the this compound through, like, the feeding vents in the
her
in the
pool is attached to the outside. How could she figure it out?
And, like, that was an oversight or whatever. That was a rookie mistake or something. So Nami escapes. And she eventually reunites with Luffy, who is... and they find Sunny. They find the Thousand Sunny beached. But Luffy and Nami are reunited and on the run from other monsters.
Billy can't shock Luffy because he's made out of rubber.
Yeah, so they're fast friends.
Yep.
And, again, that's another factor to keep in mind for the rest of the movie. So meanwhile, Robin, Frankie, and Brooke arrive at this, this large palace
on
compound.
On their Crawley Davidson, Dan.
On the Crawley Davidson, yeah.
How could you forget Crawley Davidson?
The animal that Frankie shanghaied into being a motorcycle.
It's not listening to me. It's trembling.
They enter this large, palace establishment where all of these pirates and famous criminals have been gathered together, seemingly to pledge their allegiance to Shiki. Mm-hmm. And through that, they kind of, Robin manages to find out that Shiki is going to release all of his animals that he's been raising into the East Blue to kind of not only wipe out, the majority of life there, but make a statement to, pretty much create a hostage situation with the world government, forcing mm-hmm. them to surrender or give him some kind of, trade-off mm-hmm. for not releasing these animals in other places.
It's not very clear.
Yeah.
I think it's just revenge.
Why are you doing this, Pokemon?
trading cards.
A Mew card. For that evening's entertainment, Shiki is going to unleash the animals against that village in order to demonstrate their power and, bring everyone on board with him. Mm-hmm. So the crew, except for the trio at the palace, are reunited at this village. They kind of learn the plan of, what's coming, I think... they're told through the grapevine somehow mm-hmm. that Shiki is going to go to the East Blue and decimate it. They don't know that mm-hmm. it's going to come to their village first. Mm-hmm. They're kind of the one mom is oh, they're the East Blue's problem now. So
no one cares about them.
So Nami awakens the next morning, and Shiki is outside, and again, the trailer shot, what I think is a
what
very
happened to the rest of the village? It's just not there.
Was it early morning or night?
Does almost? That mean the village goes away, Dan?
I don't know. They're sleeping. It was the day? Was it the day? I don't know.
It was an afternoon shot.
But, some of them fight against Shiki, but they are, pretty much, despite managing to score a few hits on him, mm-hmm. they are soundly defeated when Shiki levitates the ground around them and imprisons everybody in Earth, aside for Nami.
You can't float majestic lion heads up and say it's a float power,
It doesn't, Dan. There's no something that he can't, it can float how he wants it to float. That's the
but
float
that's not floating. Making lion heads in the dirt.
That's for theatric. realizing or, taken aback or frightened by Shiki's power, Nami tries to get to scheming and, she's going to pretend to mm-hmm. join him. And it's a very dramatic scene. Like Nami's in order to save the East Blue, mm-hmm. I have to do what he says for now. So she records a message, on the tone dial, which as far as the audience hears at first is her message saying Shiki is clearly, stronger than you guys. Mm-hmm. It is, he would kill you guys if you tried to fight him. He's better than Luffy. Mm-hmm. So, I have to go join him and be his navigator. Yeah. Frankie, Robin, and Brooke arrive and free the other villagers, or free the other crew members after this village has been completely wiped out.
You lied to me!
Yeah. Shiki's gas mask wearing shy guy buff dudes rip the daft green things out, the monsters swarm and wipe out this village. Mm. And Frankie and crew arrive after that. They free the other crew members, and they listen to the tone dial, and, Luffy is very upset. He storms off to go punch some rocks, as per Jasper. But we get the vibe that there's more to the message that the rest of the crew is paying mm. attention to that we can't hear yet. Mm. Nami makes a last-ditch attempt to try to destroy the daft green plants around Shiki's palace using dynamite, mm-hmm. But she is captured after succumbing to the daft green poison. again, as you made a comment, Shiki just leaves the dynamite there.
Just sitting there.
He imprisons Nami using, like, the, I would assume they were, like, the fuse pins or, like, the metal, like,
metal
dynamite
rods
things
that were, hanging out.
That were there. And he's like, you know, if you survive the poisoning, I'll come back and get you after tonight's show. And then he leaves her there. But Billy eventually does come to her side and find her.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Shiki is putting on airs, and he's hosting this party of all the criminals and
having
them
fart shoes pour out all their sake.
Yeah, the sake for the which is recurring in One Piece, the sake cup brotherhood bond thing, which is, you know, they're swearing their allegiance to him.
Mm-hmm.
But before the ceremony can be complete, the Straw Hats coup de burst on the Thousand Sunny into the palace grounds, and they, you know, dressed to the nines, they
just wanted to change their outfits, I guess.
Yeah, and this was, I have always thought this was
but in the context, I'm just like, why?
Because the one made the comment to Robin that you gotta dress up, so, and then...
A formal affair.
Yeah, so, again, you know, he's got a showmanship.
And they just walk in, no one does anything about them.
Well, no, they leave, like, a trail of defeated peons in their wake.
Yeah, I mean, none of these captains do anything about it.
You know, and then in a rather famous scene by One Piece standards, the Straw Hats kind of emerge into this room, and they're like, you know, we want Nami back, and we want you to stop threatening the East Blue. And Shiki gloats some more, and Luffy is like, you know, Nami would never sacrifice herself for you. What she was doing was just, she was like the advanced guard, and we're like the backup. And they one of the few times I've seen the Straw Hat people use guns, they you know, they in a very cartoonish way fire around the bad guys at their feet or at the rafters to take them out, and, you know, disable a lot of these warriors that Shiki has surrounded them with. But meanwhile, out in the woods, Billy, as per Nami's instructions, he focuses his electricity powers and manages to blow up, you know, ignite the dynamite and take out an entire section of these daft green plants. And Chopper and Usopp arrive just in time to save Nami from this explosion. But we get the vibe that Nami was willing to sacrifice herself if it put a dent in Shiki's plan. So the animals start swarming the palace. They start just destroying everything, fighting everyone. The Straw Hats engage in combat against them. We had Robin fight a moth.
Break its spine.
Yeah, the equivalent that a moth has.
And then immediately lose and get captured.
Yeah, to the ape, to the...
I don't know. They always treat their women so...
No, they do.
Yeah.
And that is something that One Piece
damsels
needs to... Yeah.
When they have the best... I don't know. They seem the smartest out of all of them.
No, and they are. And they do need to, like... Hopefully at some point that I don't know, I feel like he's taken very small steps to rectify that. Like Big Mom and everything was more of a combatant than we had seen in most of the, but they still haven't, he still doesn't let the main women characters do much. You know, and no, I don't know. I think that that's due for a change. It's due because even making that part of the formula is something that I think a lot of viewers and readers have gotten tired of, because that character type, the damsel in distress, reappears constantly, pretty much wherever the Straw Hats go. While this is all going on, Luffy and Shiki begin their battle. Chopper and Usopp and Nami are focusing on getting to the lab to get a cure for Nami. After which Zoro does battle with Fart Shoes Guy.
And then immediately leaves and then returns to the action. So it's like, why? What? Huh? Yeah.
But
through this plot.
Fart Shoes Man, despite his chemical juggling ability, is defeated. Robin is briefly taken hostage by Scarlet, and Sanji defeats him, as well as an unnamed ninja baboon who doesn't get to do much.
No.
Pretty much everyone is, you know, they've secured their zones. You know, but Luffy is still fighting Shiki, and he's riding on Billy. And again, I think that all of the battles in this are animated very fluidly.
Yeah.
He's flying on Billy. Shiki is flying around him. They're exchanging blows in midair. And eventually they kind of all come together on these palace grounds. And, you know, a few things happen that are, you know, feeding towards the Straw Hats' bigger plan. Mm-hmm. Like, Nami has Shiki's, like, new, like, radio guy tell him to steer the ship into a storm, pretty mm-hmm. much. So there's thunderclouds surrounding them. And then Usopp fires another, Pop Green doesn't have those yet. He fires, like, some kind of metallic thing into the sky to try to boost more lightning in some reaction. And then Luffy and Billy take to the skies, and Shiki, in the usual, 5 minutes to gloat, is like, "You'll never stop me. What are you going to do? You're going to electrocute yourself," because he doesn't know.
And then Luffy makes a big stomp.
Yeah, he uses Gigantor.
Gigantor.
It's Gigant Thor axe, because it's lightning. And he brings his giant feats down, and, Shiki, not expecting this, takes the hit and is knocked out. He is defeated. He is just pancaked into his island, which then proceeds to, like, crumble, and the rest of the floating islands, obviously, that he's been defeated, and he falls into the ocean, which is technically a death sentence for somebody who has a devil fruit power. So his fate is unknown, but we can assume that he
did.
Until we hear otherwise, he's dead. So the islands come crash back down into the sea. You know, not all of the animals survive, but we see that a fair number are still okay on these islands as their own habitat.
What about the people on the islands? Gee, I hope they're okay.
They've developed their bird powers.
It was like an Earthbender moment where I'm like, you could have just flown away.
Yeah, again.
The whole time.
Again, I think of the Wind Waker thing where they're like, we just do the mail. It's
fine. Yeah, I know, right? That's it.
So, but there were a lot of Wind Waker vibes, but... So they, the villagers are all safe, and they take to the skies. The Straw Hats float back down to Earth, or back to the sea, using a parachute that they commandeered from, it's Shiki's sail.
Mm-hmm.
And the Marines arrive just in time to witness the islands crashing down, but because of the whole, chaos of these islands falling, they don't manage to stop the Thousand Sunny or capture the Straw Hats, and they escape. And back on the ship, Nami has recovered, and the crew is back to their daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
But Luffy is like, why'd you say all that shit on the tone dial? And Nami is like, the rest of the crew is like, oh yeah, that's right, you stormed off before you listened. And we get like this little fun squabble between them. And finally, we hear that the end of the message, Nami kind of whispers like, so if you think you can take him, just come and save me. Mm-hmm. And, obviously she was betting on that anyway. Yeah. So, and then it ends with some other clips of East Blue folks.
Of our favorite East Blue characters that we barely remember all these years later.
Yeah.
But sure, why not?
But it's a happy ending. Yeah. So I mean, I'll keep this next section brief.
Okay.
This was a very successful movie. This is all data taken from Wikipedia and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It made a gross revenue of $1 billion.
Ooh.
Is that what? Yeah, 1 billion, 038, approximately the equivalent of $11.7 million.
Yeah.
And it was, on its first week, it made a decent haul. Its second week, which it managed to top Ponyo. And then it actually overtook Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince that weekend too. So all these, these spooky coincidences are
pulling
up.
Our two most frequently mentioned movies.
I think Toei, kind of learned that this presentation really, really paid off because this movie, it made pretty much, again, like 900 million more yen than its predecessor, and it made three times the amount that the ninth One Piece movie, which in its defense was like Episode of Chopper or something, like a special comedic
movie version,
thing.
Yeah.
But it made like quadruple what that movie made in just its first weekend. Mm. So obviously this strategy of kind of hyping up the movie, having Oda involved, and doing their best to dramatically, you know, build up to it, paid off, and it shows.
Mm-hmm.
So as I mentioned earlier, Anime News Network kind of attributes part of this success to the rush to get this volume zero.
We need the manga zero.
I am a goober, but I do miss the days when theaters here would do that. I miss the days
a Pokemon
when
Pokemon card.
No, and that was awesome. Like, it was awesome to do that. Like, I know
a Mew card.
Like, when I saw like the screening of Dragon Ball Z, when they re-released the Broly movie right before the new one came out, they gave away cards, which was nice. But I like that. Very successful run. It got some, a lot of accolades in Japan. It's received very, largely positive reviews from critics. And they praise the film's story and character designs, as well as Oda's noticeable involvement in the story or in the film itself. So this is where your comment previously comes in. Chris Beveridge of the fandom.
His last name is Beveridge?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not spelled
yeah,
Beveridge.
It's probably Beveridge or something. Yeah.
Beveridge.
He described the film as a very streamlined Oda story that would have gone on for 20 or 30 episodes if it was done as a regular arc in the TV series, adding that the storyline was predictable, but ultimately well-polished. He also praised the film for having a stronger connection to the One Piece TV series, because it gives the throwbacks and it actually does add to the history. There was praise given for the English dub when Ian Sinclair debuted as Brook. And then that same critic also found Scott McNeil's pseudo Caribbean voice for Shiki a bit off-putting,
barely noticeable.
But overall, most DVD critics, even as the English version came out, the Blu-ray release came out, they always recommend it. So most of the fan sites are still and it is very much, I think, enjoyed by like many One Piece fans. Mm. I love it. It is, just in especially the creature designs, yeah. This range of goofy animals that lives on this island, they're still showcased in on the One Piece wiki and other places. Like, they're used as kind of the go-to example of One Piece strange, but lovable creatures. Mm. I believe it won the award for excellent animation of the year at the 34th Japan Academy
Prize.
And it was nominated for animation of the year, though it did not win.
I see.
But obviously, it has been reflected upon as one of the, superior One Piece stories.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel overall about it?
I enjoyed it. Like you said, the character design was good. I do wish that certain characters, and it's not just the ladies, I wish that certain characters were more profound, but I understand that this is a fan-based thing. Like, we always have to give Zoro and Sanji their moments because everyone loves them. Luffy always has to, win in the end, the last thing. There's always got to be this villain, which was pretty good. Good designs, but at the same time, One Piece's blend of, comedy and stuff, it never got me. Even when I was but a child, I never found it supremely funny, and just adding Fart Shoe McGee kind of took me out of the moment.
Yeah, and there were moments that maybe could have been puns in the original Japanese language, Shiki's like, oh, I thought you were my grandma. Like, it could be, the words sound similar, or it's a saying or something, but we wouldn't know. So, no, but I can agree that there are little, they snap you back out of it.
Yeah. I think
fork
we need
shoes, but
I think we need more Billy, though.
Yeah,
more Billy.
Yeah, sadly, I don't think Billy comes back.
He dies.
But he gets referenced. I think he chills with the villagers on Windfall Island.
delivers the mail.
Yeah.
It's Dragon Roost Island.
Dragon Roost. God, how
we do the mail. Baloo.
He's sitting on something.
Someone's messing with that booty.
someday.
Here's a tool we give to the non-flying people. It's called a grappling hook. Catch up. I'm depressed. I'm gonna stare at my pearl.
Oh, God.
Yep.
But no, I love this movie. I think it's, very quintessential One Piece, for better or worse.
Yeah.
And I hope that you've all enjoyed the voyage for this
Until
week.
Next time we hit the high sailing seas.
We can do our usual sign-off, and then if you have a preview
I do.
Where can they reach you?
They can find me, being they as in their the audience that listens to this podcast, on Losing My Mind JK on Instagram, Drink and Read JK on Twitter. I'm following my other podcast, Nightcaps at the Theater, where we have a few drinks, we watch a few movies. Recently, we just watched Lars and the Real Girl, and then my pick's coming up, and it's very video game-centric, so if you like our video game banter, stick around for a couple weeks, and maybe you'll get a little taste of that.
Of course.
Oh, and don't forget to check out Anime Was Not a Mistake's Classic Cats episode. We're gonna push that until we die.
The family event of the spring.
Yeah, what was supposed to be the event of the Christmas time has actually flourished well past that.
More ink for us.
Yes.
You can follow me on Instagram at king_Danis, where I try to post artwork when I can. So do you have anything to tease?
Ooh, well, Dan, if you give me permission, I think we're going to head back to Otori High School, into the rose garden once more, but instead of the luscious pinks and reds of typical roses, we're going to be taking a look at season 2, the Black Rose Saga. So beware, Dan, this rose has thorns. No bones about it. No one was around to hear my bone-related pun.
Stay safe, everyone.
Yeah, don't watch bad anime. Here at Anime Was Not a Mistake, we have one mission. Whether you be a magical girl, a giant fighting robot, a raccoon, or just a fan of podcasts in general, we hope to one day arrive at a definitive answer to the following question. Is anime a mistake? While we obviously don't think so, there's no harm in expanding our weeb horizons now, is there? As of late, our humble little show is devoted to the analysis and discussion of movies, series, and episodes that show off that powerful art that is animation. However, none of this would be possible without listeners like you. If you like what you hear on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and more, then why not support us on Instagram at Anime Was Not a Mistake Podcast, or on Facebook at Anime Was Not a Mistake Pod. We promise to go halfies on the sake with you. Join us, won't you? This time and the next. And with that, Dan and I leave you with a to be continued as the chill anime beats play. Sayonara!